My five-year-old granddaughter, she was over here at church the other Sunday when we baptized somebody after church, and she saw them get baptized. Well, after we baptized them, she come out here and says, Granddaddy, I want to be baptized. I said, now why do you want to be baptized? And she said, well, I just do. You know, I told her, I said, well, it's making Jesus Lord of your life. That's what it's all about. And then you get baptized. Well, then I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. And so I led her in a little prayer. I said, now, do you really believe that? She said, yes. When can you baptize me? I said, well, go home and talk to Daddy. That's my son. I said, go home and talk to Daddy. Well, she did. I didn't have any idea, but she did. She went home and talked to Dad. Dad, I'm getting baptized real soon. Didn't quite tell you the whole truth, but she wanted to make him think that it was okay. So anyway, he said, well, we're going to have to talk about this. So they talked about it and everything. And then the next day, Tim come to see me. He said, Dad, have you set up some plans to baptize Madison anytime soon? I said, no. I said, she saw a baptism last night, yesterday, and so she wanted to be baptized. So I told her you had to accept Jesus. And so I said, she did, at least with the knowledge she has. Then she wanted me to baptize her, and I told him, no, it would only be when you said it was okay, because I'm not her spiritual head. And so he said, well, Dad, I really don't think she's quite there yet. He said, we'll just take it. But he said, I said, no, I absolutely did not agree to baptize her until you say it's okay. You know, I would never do that. But anyway, he said, I don't think she's really quite ready. I said, I really don't think she's quite ready either. I said, she wanted to be baptized because she saw somebody else baptized. And how many of you know that won't save you? That will not save you. It's got to be something you do in faith, and you do it first. You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you get baptized. But this man here, he wanted instructions about this son who is to be born, verse 9 and 10. God answered his prayer. Isn't it wonderful that God answers prayer? I mean, sometimes he answers just real quick, doesn't he? But God had a plan here, and God answered his prayer, and the angel of God appeared once again to his wife. It didn't appear to the man. Isn't that strange that God would send the angel to the wife? But he sent the angel to the wife as she was sitting in the field, but her husband, Manoah, was not with her. So she quickly ran and told her husband, and the man who appeared to me the other day is here again. And so let's see what happens, verse 11 and 12. Manoah ran back with his wife and asked, are you the man who talked to my wife the other day? Said he replied, I am. So Manoah asked him, when your words come true, in other words, does this man doubt God's word? Boy, if the church could just get a hold of this. God has told us all kinds of wonderful things under the new covenant. And do we believe him when he tells us we can do something? Unfortunately, most of the time we do not, do we? I mean, just think of the things under the new covenant that God said we could do. I mean, just think of some of the promises. In fact, one of my favorite ones is Matthew 18:19. Matthew 18:19 makes an awesome statement. Jesus said, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agrees about anything you ask me for, it will be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the churches believed that, Ann? What could we get done if there was two of us? Virtually anything, right? But, you know, we pray and we quote that verse and then we say, well, if it's his will, maybe he will, maybe he won't. No, no, that's not the way it works. Manoah ran back with his wife and asked, are you the man of God? So Manoah asked him, when your words come true, what kind of rules should govern the boy's life and the work? What kind of rules did God give us as men, husbands, to raise up our children? Did he give us any instructions? Yes, he did. Once you become a child of God, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now if you're the father of the home, the instructions in the Word of God says you are to teach your wife and your children about God every day of your life. Not once a week, not on Sunday. You're to teach your children. I mean, I think about when he says, put a sign on the bill of your hat that says, remind me today to teach my children about God. Put a sign on your gatepost when you come in. For most of us, it needs to be in letters about this big and electronic today and flashing. Don't you agree? Because we don't see it. Remind me today to teach my children about God. And when you get up to your doorpost, you reach up to the doorknob and you look down to grab the doorknob and there's a little sign about this big. Remind me to teach my children about God today. I'm to teach them when I'm at home, when I'm sitting down, when I'm lying down, when I'm walking by the brook. All times of the day and night, I am to be teaching my children about God. How many men do that today? What do you think the percentage is in the church of men that teach their children daily about God? What do you think the percentage? Somebody just give me a wild number. What do you think it might be? 1%? You know, I'm going to agree with this girl over here. That's exactly the number that I had in my head. 1%. I mean, I wouldn't dare ask the question in here and embarrass any of you men, but I'd like for you to think, if I were to ask in here today, how many of you men teach your children about God every day of your life? It may not be none of us. And it may not be a one. That's kind of sad, isn't it? That's why God told us to put a sign up to remind us every day to teach our wife and our children about Him. And He didn't put that requirement on the woman. He put it on you and me, Scott. Not one time can I have ever found in the Word where God told the woman to be the spiritual head of the house. Not one time. I ain't never seen that. But boy, He's constantly on the guy. You know that, Susan? He holds us men accountable. So this man, he's asking for instructions. Verse 13 and 14, let's see what kind of instructions he gets. The angel of the Lord replied, "Be sure your wife follows the instructions I gave her." Now that's come down to the man. You, the husband, are to make sure that your wife follows the instructions I gave. In other words, if you see her start to eat grapes, what are you supposed to do? Take them away from her. Oh, boy, you talk about making your wife upset. She fixes that down to eat some raisins, and you say, let me have them. You can't have them. Did you ever reach over and take anything out of your wife's hand when she fixes to eat something, say, you don't need that? Boy, you talk about a wife, blow it up. I'll eat what I want to. Yes, Dale. I know, your situation is different. I'll talk to you about that later. You've got a different situation. If you've got a child and you're a woman by yourself, that's not the way it was planned to be. That's why God said one man, one woman forever. But we don't do a very good job with that. Many of us, many of you in here, many people in the church have been divorced and remarried, and many of them many times. Many. You know, is that God's way? Absolutely not. But here's the thing. If you happen to be one of those that's been married and divorced many times, can God forgive you? Yeah. Of course He can. Aren't we glad? Yeah. If He couldn't forgive us, we'd all be headed for hell, wouldn't we? But aren't we glad that, I mean, if He couldn't forgive a murderer, how many people are guilty of murder? All of us. You know, all you got to do is get angry with your brother. And you're guilty of murder. I know that none of y'all have never been angry with nobody. I know I'm the only one in here that's ever been angry with anybody. Y'all know where I'm coming from, right? Have we all been angry with people? Were we guilty of murder? Yes. Now then, if God wasn't in the business to do what He done, how many of those of us that have been angry one time would go to heaven? Not one. Not one. But praise God because of the blood of Jesus. You know, every once in a while I get to thinking about this, like Dave was talking about those scriptures when he first started there. Every once in a while I get to thinking how fortunate we are to live in America and have heard the gospel and able to come to church and know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because, you know, the majority of the world don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They don't know. That's like Cheryl was reading a book the other day about some little Oriental girl. I forget whether it was in Vietnam or wherever it was, but some Oriental. And she came to America and she got saved. But somehow God took her back and showed her hell. And when she showed her hell, God literally showed this girl her mother, which was in hell. And her mother, when she saw her daughter, she's saying, "Don't come in here. Don't come in here. It's so hot in here. Don't come in here." Isn't that something? That's sad, isn't it? How many ways is there to heaven? One. There ain't no other. You know, when I mean, I ran into a guy right down here the other day. I went down to, I guess it was Monday, our server. We had a piece of a hub go out, and we couldn't get into the internet. So I had to run down Monday morning and buy us a new hub. And when I was down there, I went down to Fry's because I knew they would have it. And I asked everybody in that store that I had anything to do with, in fact, including a few people just standing around in there, "Do you know Jesus?" And when I got to the front door, the little girl that checked my receipt going out, the guy that checked me out, I said, "Do you know Jesus?" "No, no." When I'm checking out, I said, "We're tax exempt." And he said, "What are you?" I said, "A church." He said, "Is that religious?" I said, "Well, maybe." I said, "It might or might not be religious, but," I said, "we're a church and we believe in Jesus." I said, "By the way, are you a Christian?" He said, "No." I said, "You go to church?" He said, "No." I said, "What country are you from?" He said, "India." I said, "So you believe you're going to heaven?" He said, "Oh, yeah, sure." I said, "We're all going to heaven. Everybody's going to get there." I said, "I'm sorry, son, that ain't right. You ain't going." And I said, "If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going." Now, there's 4, 5, or 6 people all around us can hear all this. Nobody said a word. And then I go to the front door to check out. And when I go by the front door, you know, the girl that checks to see what you got on your receipts, what you got in the bag, you know, as I'm going out, I said, "Young lady, are you a Christian?" She said, "No, I'm still searching for the answer." I said, "Praise God, you're in luck today. I got your answer." I said, "You're in luck." I said, "Jesus is the answer." I said, "He's the answer. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. You'll be saved." I said, "That's the answer." She said, "Well, I'm still searching." I said, "No, you're not. I just told you the only way to heaven. You're not listening to what I'm saying, girl." No. Are our minds and eyes blinded to the things of God? She's searching. She don't have to search no more. I have her answer right there on my lips, and I voiced them, and she still didn't believe. And so I walk out to the car with my hub in my hand, and this one young man there dressed up real nice. I think he, you know, I don't know, he worked in there. He had a little tag on his deal, and he was pushing a basket back, or 4 or 5 baskets back in there. I said, "Son, are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I believe in Jesus." I said, "Then whatever you do, get back in there."
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, "God's Ways Are Not Our Ways," or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.